Well, shalom again. It's good to be back. We enjoyed the last time we was here a lot. I still remember y'all's, I keep saying it, some of y'all get tired of me here saying it, about the y'all's format for praying for your missionaries. I think we need to share that with, we go to about 50, 55 churches a year, so we need to share that format with other churches, and hopefully they'll understand and join in. So they just probably never thought about it like y'all do it. So or the video, y'all, that way I can show them. y'all don't think that's a good idea. But my name is Brother Dennis Pippins, my wife Crystal, our son Reuben, and Bethany, and then we're missionaries to Israel and the Jewish people. Been doing mission work about 17 years now. The beginning of the year, we should be heading back over to Israel for the 12th time. So we're looking forward to that. Between now and then, we'll be going. We just came back from Los Angeles. That's been since we were here with y'all. We were over in Los Angeles area, California. You're looking about 600,000 Jews total. There's a lot of Jews over there. Next to New York area, it's Los Angeles. So there's a lot of Jews there. Believe it or not, the Beverly Hills area and about 15 miles to the northwest of there. There was a lot of synagogues, one of the largest synagogues east of the, or west of the Mississippi. So we was over there laying some groundwork for future outreaches over there to reach them. Just because they're far away, don't mean they're forgotten. On that note there, I might have mentioned this last time I was there. You got about 6.3 million Jews in Israel. Total population for Jews, you're looking at about 13 million. So if you got 6.3 to 6.6 million Jews in Israel, then where's the rest of them at? They're not in Israel. So that's why we're just not just missionaries to Israel. We're not Jewish. We can't get citizenship, so we have to go back and forth on visas. So we can't just go in and build a church when it wouldn't work anyway that way. It's not the way it works. But we have to go in and out. But there's Jewish people all around the world. And even in Stockholm, in Sweden, some people say, well, I'm out of Sweden. It's not known for anything Jewish, but there's a lot of Jews there. So just because they don't haven't made Aliyah back to Israel, we're not going to just forsake them. If that was you, yeah, just put yourself in their shoes. You wouldn't want everybody to forsake you. So we seize that opportunity, and that's why we travel to different places. Like I said, in Miami, we'll be going down there for the Hanukkah, the Surfside area that's north of Miami. There's a lot of Jews there. So, and they're very California. How would I describe that? It's not like New York, I'll tell you that, or Boston. Over there, they're pretty laid back. I don't see anything not being laid back over California. So they were a little bit more, say, calmer. We didn't have nobody throw anything at us, and nobody screaming at us, dancing in the street like some of the other places we see. So that aspect there, we got a lot of tracks out, and they didn't observe Shabbat as intense. Usually on Shabbat, so it's kind of like the blue law 50 years ago in the States. Shabbat, you know, they stay inside. They only walk so many steps during the day and stuff like that. But they didn't really observe it, did they? They were out on the streets, and they were having fun. So, but, hey, they were out there, so we could see them. We knew where they were at, and we just get the tracks out to them. So that was a good trip. We appreciate the safety we had and the contacts we made and the groundwork we laid for other missionaries going out there with us. And I said, we got a lot of stuff going on, a lot of things in the works. I'm trying to think what all happened since last time we was here, because I don't want to bore y'all with the same stuff. The tracks in Israel, got about 60,000 out through the mail system. It is what it is. I'm just giving you all the facts on this. It takes about $3,000 to get them printed and get 60,000 mailed out. So as the money comes in, we ship it, and this is how it goes. So if you got extra money laying around, you want to make a difference in the world, hey, that's just how it works. And I'm saying that as part of mission work. I was talking to a pastor down in near Chattanooga just a few weeks ago. We were down there, and the missions hasn't changed as far as our part. I mean, we're there to get the gospel. What God's word says, the entrance of thy word giveth light, period. We're not there to give them a scheme or a gimmick or some type of scam. Hey, it's God's word. Like I probably said that last time here, put them at that crossroads, make them choose. But another side of missions is now, as we're going around different churches and stuff, is it's here in the church we was at this morning, I was trying to explain it to them. We're presenting opportunity. You understand that? When we're giving a Jewish person or even a Gentile a tract, what are we doing? We're giving them an opportunity. One, we're giving them God's word. So now they know what the opportunity is. Here the Bible says, Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes unto the Father but by me. So now they have that opportunity to accept the sacrifice he gave. So that part of our mission work has not changed. It's never going to change. So there's only one way, and that's through Jesus and God's word. But another part is also to the churches. We give people opportunity. That's what we're doing. We're sharing. It's supposed to be done through the local church. That's not going to change. That's God's word. That's the biblical way. So when we say stuff, we're not groveling or anything like that. I'm just passing on to you. Do what you want with it. It's your choice. But we're presenting opportunity. So it's to serve God is a privilege. Amen. To serve God is a privilege. And I'm sure y'all believe that because, I mean, it's true. It's the truth. Every day we have is an opportunity. It's a blessing. But how many of y'all ever been to Israel? Hey, just one? Okay. How many of y'all like flying 6 miles up in the air for 14 hours? I tell y'all this, the food ain't nothing like it used to be. I mean, we flew over to Los Angeles. I tell you, it was like, we had, what, one little cracker? I mean, I was like, well, we need to wear a sign that says, hey, we're Baptists. You don't get, we're going on a mission trip. You don't feed us just one cracker. That ain't going to work. But, yeah, they're getting a little bit skimpy on it. So I understand that aspect there. But, yeah, it's 6 miles up for 14 hours to land in Tel Aviv. And we understand not everybody's going to do that. Some people are not willing to, or it just doesn't work into your scheme of your life, or it's not on your bucket list. So we understand it. So we do have a video. It's a 5-minute video. I might say a little bit, so just if somebody can turn the lights down a little bit and we can see it. I will tell you this about the video. All of these pictures are from Israel. When you get towards the end, you'll understand it a little bit more. And there's one street sign in here. I know we're in Mountain City, Tennessee, but imagine that street sign. When you read it, you'll see why. There's nowhere else on the earth you see a street sign that has that much significance, I guess you want to say. So it's a 5-minute video here, and I'll stand here and narrate a little bit as we go. If he wants to go ahead and begin it. That's the Temple Mount. That's the Eastern Gate. We're on the outside. They put those tombs there to stop Jesus, who they say doesn't exist. There's the empty tomb. At 2:00 in the morning. You can go to the wall and there'll be Jews just lined up. It's hard to find a parking spot. You see the bullet holes from the Six-Day War. How'd you like to have that sign in Mountain City? Some of those trees there right at 2,000 years old. When one part dies, another part just grows up. You can barely see in the background, that's the country of Jordan. It's on the other side of the Jordan River. We're right here on the border of Egypt in southern Israel. And you see Jordan and Saudi Arabia's right to the right. It's under the Red Sea. It's right there at the Lebanon border, the Grotto. On the other side there, again, is the country of Jordan, Petra. It don't rain much over there, so that's a unique picture. That is salt. verge of four harvests a year. Religion is everywhere in Israel. This is where David was hiding on the other side. Caesarea Philippi, that's where they threw the children into the fire. Right there, you can see that cave, and that little one next to it is where they had the idols and stuff. This is heading up towards Mount Hermon. See that Air Force Base? See those two runways? That's in the Valley of Megiddo. Panoramic of to the left will be up towards Mount Hermon. To the south will be towards the Jordan River. And they saw Jesus coming from afar off. Negev Desert. That's a whole lot bigger than it looks in that picture, trust me. Saul and Jonathan, and they hung their head on the hill. Syria is right on the other side of that top of that mountain there. Israel. Again, we call that the beauty of Israel. Just kind of give you just a taste. Trust me, it's hard to go over there. If you're driving, I mean, you drive 1 minute, and then you're at another site where there's a biblical event that happened. So it's very fascinating to see it. The geographic, I have a message. I preach on Sodom and Gomorrah. You say, why would the geographic have, would it help you far as your understanding the Bible? It does. Until you see it, and you can, in your mind, you're like, you connect these two dots because you're like, hey, they went up to Jerusalem. Peter warmed himself by the fire because it snows in Jerusalem. the aspect of stuff there and see the distance and say either from Jerusalem to Bethlehem, the day's journey to Jericho, just so many different things down there. It does kind of bring the focus in just a little bit more. And especially when it comes to Sodom and Gomorrah, that message is a pretty in-depth message. But now we understand the bombardment. You know, if I say the word Sodom and Gomorrah, pretty much the same thing pops in everybody's head. We understand that. But if you understand the geographic of it, and then you turn the time, the clock back prior to the bombardment, I tell you, it's a really eye-opener. Because you can see the signs of how did they get to that day. And if you turn that clock back and start looking at it, and if you know the geographic of how things are laid out there and how it was then, it starts making sense. Hey, how did we get to that? And when you say, well, what good does that do? You can take that same, you can say photocopy of Sodom and Gomorrah and say 50 years prior, laminate it and lay it over America. And it'll shock you. It'll shock you of the same thing. You say, well, how do you know this? The geographic has, the Bible tells a lot more than we catch a lot of times because we're just not focused in on what it's saying. And as I guess that's the best biblical example of the geographer making a point. If you've heard the message, I mean, it really does, like, that makes sense. And you say, why would God put that in the Bible? For us to know, for us to learn from. And it talks about Sodom and Gomorrah being there for an example for us to learn. And it's true. So that's not the only one. There's so many in the Bible. They're there for a reason for us to learn from. And we just got to look at them and understand what's going on and ask that question, why? And how did they wind up there? And that's something we need to do in our personal lives. You know, you find a character in the Bible, you say, well, look what he did. You know, look what Judas did, or look what Cain did, or look at all these different people, Goliath, and just so many say, why did they do that? And that's when you got to turn that clock back, you know, 5 years before. What led to this? And you start seeing those symptoms, and you take that same, once again, that same format, and lay it over your own personal life. And some people are not going to want to do that, because you can be like, wow, there's familiarities there, there's similarities there. But God, it's a picture of grace. Everything in the Bible is a picture of grace for us to learn. You say, well, even in judgment, there's grace. And you take everything in the Bible. So some people say, well, I don't bother studying in what we call the Old Testament. That's a lack of understanding. God did not waste his time having all this preserved all these years. It's there for a reason for us to learn from. And it's a beautiful, beautiful picture of grace. And there's wisdom to study it out. And ask why. There's so many characters in the Bible. You say, I don't want to be like that person. Well, you got to understand what made that person that way. What's the footsteps that led there? And you're going to have your good characters. You like, I don't know who your favorite characters are. But you say, hey, what? Let me follow their path. So there's so much to learn from. And I'm encouraged our young people. We get a chance to teach Sunday school, fifth grade Sunday school. Find you your favorite character in the Bible and learn what they did right and learn from what they did wrong. And that helped us out in our personal life, and we did it to everybody. So, say, what's that got to do with Israel? The geographic again. So, anyways, that's what that video was about there. And I said, it's just, if you go to Israel, I said this last time, I said, you're not going to come back. You're not going to be glowing. Your head will not start glowing. Even while you're standing there, you say, well, I walked in the footsteps of Jesus. Ah, and your head's not going to start glowing. But when you see it, and even you see the culture over there, and you see the Jewish people, and you see how things are, in your heart, you'll be, you'll appreciate it. You're like, wow. I mean, it's just fascinating. So that aspect of it there, and your pastor's here now. I don't know if I said it last time. I'll say this behind your back any day. You feed your pastor will feed you. And I tell you, Israel is a buffet. There's no doubt about it. If you ever get a chance to go, I would highly, if you got a bucket list, take that favorite restaurant in wherever your favorite vacation place. Take that off, put Israel on there. I think it would do you good. It's money well spent, And one thing about that, no one can take it away from you. Once you got that there, it's there forever. So that's why we really, really encourage young people going on mission fields and stuff like that. Our next set of slides, and this is what we call the meat and potatoes of the ministry. Say, why do we go to Israel? Why do we go to the Ukraine? Why do we go to England? Why do we go to Sweden? Why do we go up and down the East Coast to the major cities? Why do we go to Los Angeles? It's for the people, the Jewish people. Once again, I'm trying to remember what I said last time. One thing about the Jewish people, a lot of people have, I don't know why we don't ask the question sometimes, and it's not wrong to ask the question, why did God choose the Jewish people? And of all the people in the world, what set them apart? What characteristic, what uniqueness made God choose them? And if you ever do study that out, it'll humble you, and then two, it will highly motivate you. Say, why did God choose the Jewish people? If you turn your Bibles to Romans 11:25 before we get started into the slides. Romans 11:25. Honestly, when we do the slides, once I get into this part of the slides, it depends on where we're at and what we're doing. You get in some of the big churches. I've had pastors tell me there's a trap door. So they, when they say 29 minutes, they mean 29 minutes. So we have to kind of dial it back a little bit. And I know your pastor said we had, so I understand it's Sunday night. I understand y'all got to get up and go to work in the morning, so I'm going to talk fast. We'll go through the slides, have time for a full message at the end of it. That ain't going to happen. There won't be enough time, I can tell you right now. So I'll preach a little bit as we're going through the slides. And like I said, maybe if we have a little bit of time at the end, I have some questions or something like that. But I really want to, these slides, I think it'll bring it home to you. And I was at, Brother Eddie Davis's church a while back. Love Brother Eddie Davis. I don't know if any of y'all know him or not. Tremendous, tremendous preacher. He's I don't want to call him older because I don't want him to catch wind of me saying that. But he's a little bit older. But his wisdom is just astonishing. And his spiritual walk. And he had us come do his presentation. And he said something that it really encouraged us. He said it kind of brought it more. We're trying to bring y'all there, trying to put y'all in our shoes as we're dealing with the people and what we're seeing, what we're dealing with. So hopefully that we can convey it tonight, and that'll be our prayer. We'll pray, and then we'll read a little bit, then we'll get into the slides. Father, we thank you again for allowing us to be here. We thank you for the opportunity. We thank you for the health we have, and as you be with each of us tonight, that through your word, moving our hearts, that we'll have a desire to have a burden for lost souls and to help other people come to know you as their Lord and their Savior and their King. Again, if there would be one lost here tonight, once again, through your word, we pray that you would deal with their hearts in a mighty way, that they would realize and understand what all this is about, whether it's mission work or whether it's just church in general, that it's about them. And they need you, and we ask you again through your word that you open their hearts and minds, and they'll have a desire to get saved. Again, we thank you and love you. I pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. Romans 11:25 says, "For I would not, brethren, that ye should be ignorant of this mystery, that ye should be wise in your own conceits, that blindness in part is happened to Israel." Once again, that blindness in part, exactly what it means. It's a blindness in part. It's not a... They're just in a total cloud of darkness, and they have no vision. They have no means of seeing. Once again, God's word says, "The entrance of thy word giveth light." I want to show y'all a slide. Is this online? Okay, I'll show y'all a slide. I'm not going, when we get to it, I'm not going to identify it for reasons. The man that I said... told us that he was looking for the truth, the Jewish man. Did I tell you about that last time? He's in these slides. So, good deal. Hey. Then when I raised my hand, we're at him. So, the Jewish man saying, "I'm looking for the truth." So once again, you got to understand that blindness in part. And again, it does not say it's happened to Israel only. I might have said that last time I was here. It's not just the Jewish people. Some of y'all have been over to the Vatican. Some of you have been in Buddhist temples, Muslim mosques. Blindness in part. I'll tell you, you go to a snake handler church over in North Carolina, there's a blindness there. There's something they're not seeing. There's a light that's not coming on. So it's not just the Jewish people. It's just the context was dealing with the Jewish people. So we must understand it's not a... And some people... don't know why they want to play it out. It's just a waste of time to Jewish people. But there's Messianic Jews that they do. They have seen the truth. That are seeking. And it's our responsibility. It says, "Until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in." We understand we're getting pretty close to here now. Time Biden said a few weeks ago, he mentioned the word Armageddon. And one of his, whatever he does, he was speaking something, he actually got the word Armageddon out, and now there's all kinds of correspondence going on about that. He shouldn't have said that. He's got everybody in a panic, and there's people in, religious circles. They seized the opportunity, because even before all the chaos the last 3 or 4 years come on, being missionaries to the Jewish people in Israel, you say, what's the biggest thing people are intrigued with when they find out we're Jewish missionaries? Most of the time it's prophecy. People are really intrigued in prophecy. And I've said back over the years, I said, almost 20 years going on now, and I sit back kind of like, why is there so much intrigue? I ain't saying it's wrong in any way, but why is there so much intrigue? And I started trying to put those people, what's the common denominator between all these people that have so much intrigueness about the prophecy? And I started seeing if there was a common denominator there. But there's people out there now who's playing off of that fear or that interest or whatever. And knowing that's happening, so we're not part of them. I'm not trying to hype up where we're at and like you say, the prophecy picture or anything like that. But then again, on the same token, we can't deny it. We're not going to inflate it to the point of terrifying people. But when we say the words, what you're going to do, you need to do now, we're serious. Just because, I mean, common sense, any biblical, spiritual insight whatsoever is telling you, hey. And even the Jewish people that are not messianic, they're even leery about what's going on, stuff like that. I mean, I don't read our news. But, I mean, I'm just, you do what you want. I just don't read our news that much. But overseas, that's where I get a lot of our commentation and news and stuff from. The world sees the tides are ebbing and flowing hard. So on that part there. But it says, until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. There's a time marker there. I'm not as young as I used to be. But I remember as a kid, they had a billboard in, it was in Bristol, Tennessee. This 40-some years ago. They said, Jesus is coming soon. And I remember as a little kid seeing it, I was like, well, hey. I mean, I got saved at a young age. I was like, well, hey. Well, you know, it makes I'm glad I'm saved. That was 40 years ago. So you could sit back and say, well, hey, I've been hearing this for a long time. Yes. Yes, we have. But I'll tell you one thing. We're 40 years closer than I was when I first read that sign. But I can also tell you this from the missions aspect or your prophecy side. Those things that's happening now that even, I guess you say some of the senior theologians, even missionaries, are like, I have some great missionary friends, and they even have a little bit of a more urgency about their family members. Because sometimes you get caught up in mission work, and you get so focused, and where you get in the battle, and the fog of war, I guess you want to say, it kind of sets in, and you kind of lose sight of your home and your home family and stuff. But now we're realizing, hey, we can see the front lines are a whole lot closer than they used to be. We need to shore up our homes, our kin people that we hadn't seen in 10 years. Maybe we need to call somebody here at Mountain City Baptist Church. And ask them to go visit my kin people. And I asked you tonight, if a missionary called you up from overseas right now and said, hey, I hadn't seen my brother 15 years. And I can see time's coming to an end. Would you go visit him? What would you say? And it happens. We've had it happen twice. The reason we was in Los Angeles, we were there for Jewish missions. And somebody found out we were going over there. She won't hear this. Her dad. Yeah, how long did she say she hadn't seen her dad? And it's like 40 years. And she knew we were going. She said, hey, will you go try one more time with my dad? He said, well you're a missionary, you're a preacher. No, we're Christians. We're Christians. So if you got that call tonight, what would you do? And I'm sure y'all would. It don't matter if it was midnight, I believe all y'all would get up and go. And that's the mentality we need to have. But the missionaries, even they're like, hey, we're here on the front line, but we got kin people. And we talk among each other. And I'll tell you, my heart breaks when I talk to some of my missionary friends. So we got missionary friends over in Ukraine. They've got back into Ukraine. So we have this, America's a mission field. America's a mission field now. I said, not just for Jews. I said, we got a lot of Jews here, about 3 million Jews here in the United States. But for even on the Gentile side, there's the two missionary fields, the Jew and the Gentile. So, but anyways, that's just where we're at. And we'll go, this is, like I said, this is what I call the meat and potatoes. And we'll go through this. And I'll take my time a little bit. I don't see a clock. And let's go back to Romans there. Romans 1:16 says, "For I'm not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek." That's Jew and Gentile there. The Greeks is anybody that didn't speak, or the barbarians or anybody that didn't speak Greek. But it's the Jew and the Gentile there. Next. Amos 9:15. "And I will plant them upon their land, and they shall no more be pulled up out of their land, which I have given them, saith the Lord thy God. Thus saith the Lord." Next. Deuteronomy 14:2. "For thou art a holy people unto the Lord thy God, and the Lord hath chosen thee to be a peculiar people unto himself above all the nations that are upon the earth." Again, it's that question, why? It's not wrong to answer or ask that question, why? Because that answer will just, it'll help you out. It really, really will. Quickly, I'll tell you. Y'all say, why did God choose the Jewish people? You read from Genesis to Micah, the Malachi, all the way to Revelations. What do you hear most of about the Jewish people? Is it positive or negative? Negative. So you say, well, did he choose them because they did so much negative? No. No, I can tell you why. No. Is it because of their physical features? No. Or where they're from? No. He moved them into the promised land. So there's so many questions. Why did God choose the Jewish people? Because as you read from Genesis to Revelations, you read the Israelites, the Jewish people, anything that's referring to them, and granted, most of it is negative. You say, well, if they're his chosen people, if they're the apple of his eye, why would he put negative things about them in the Bible? Does that make sense? Normally, if you like somebody or you cherish somebody, you want to bring out their positive characteristics. But that's not what he did. Most of it is negative. Why did God choose the Jewish people? One of the answers is, and think about this, and like I said, it should, if it sinks in, study on this. Don't just take my word for it. Study on this. As a people, what greater people, or let me rephrase the word there, what better mirror to look into than the Jewish people? What greater mirror to look into than the Jewish people? Well, you say, well, I'll read this and they did that. Look in the mirror while you're reading that. Well, if I was wandering in the wilderness, I would have never done that. A golden calf, there's no way. But what's your golden calf? When did you have a trial? Or when did you go through them or have some great victory? How long did it take before you went astray? Hey, I won $10,000. God's been so good to me. I'm heading to Hawaii, where people are running around half naked on a beach. You know what I'm saying? You know, God's been so good to me. Now let me go straight into the world and celebrate. It ain't always a golden calf. It's not going to be a golden calf for the day and age we live into. So over and over and over, when we read about the Jewish people, your heart breaks. But that reality's got to be there. Hey, that's there for me to learn from. Those people struggle. And I told you about the Holocaust. Many, many Jews are atheistic because they say, if there was a God, how would he allow this to happen? And I told you all the answer last time, I believe, was, if there was not a Holocaust, would there be an Israel today? Even in their judgment, it did what? It brought them together. Even in the judgment, there was grace shown. And how many times can we say it in our life? I mean, I don't know about you. I mean, flat on my face, and I look up, and there's grace. And there's grace. So over and over, it's a picture of grace. And the Jewish people, so many times when they fail, we've done this. I can't say the exact same thing in the same way. Not the same flavor, but typically the same thing. So we got to be careful about that when reading in the Bible, not to look down our nose, per se. It's there for us to learn from. It's there for us to learn. David had some pitfalls. Oh, what can we learn? So many characters in the Bible, and we can learn from them. So it's a picture of grace. Why did God choose the Jewish people? One of the great answers is, what greater mirror to look into? So we need to be thankful for them. How many of y'all like learning lessons yourself the hard way? But when God understands that, so he's recorded in his word, hey, this is what happens. This is what happens when you come out from my umbrella, when you come out from the fold, when you go and do your own thing, when you put yourself before God's word and God's will and other people, this is what happens. And how many times did it just happen like that? It's those steps. It's those steps. You can look at Sodom and Gomorrah, and you can see those steps. They didn't, I mean, it wasn't the night of the bombardment like that. It didn't just, hey, we're here, we need to act like this. It was a progression. It was a progression. And we can see that with the children of Israel also. But there's pros and there's cons to learn from. So anyways, that part there. Peculiar people unto himself above all the nations that are upon the earth. Next. 1 Corinthians 10:32, give none offense neither to the Jews, nor to the Gentiles, nor to the church of God. For I would not, brethren, that you should be ignorant of this mystery, lest you should be wise in your own conceits. Again, that blindness in part has happened to Israel until the fullness of the Gentiles be come in. For 2,000 years, the Gentiles, God's preserved his word. God has preserved his word. You believe God's word or you don't. Psalms 12:6 says he's preserved his word. And Psalms 12:6 and 7, if you believe it or not. But he's preserved his word for the last 2,000 years. The English-speaking people have been the flagship of God's word, sending out missionaries and stuff. But as John the Baptist was a forerunner for Messiah when he was here the first time, God's word is going to be a forerunner again. It says, pray for the peace of Jerusalem. How's that going to happen? God's word. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was with God. The Word was God. What it says in verse 14 there, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among men. Messiah's returning, and his Word, we're getting it back to his chosen people, and we're getting it back to Jerusalem, which is in Israel. So understanding all of that part there until the fullness of the Gentiles may come in. Next. You see here, of course, we know history. It seems so long ago. So long ago, we was in the Holocaust Museum, the Yad Vashem, over in Los Angeles. There's still Jews alive today. They can roll their sleeve up. They had them come over and speak certain days in the week. And have you ever, anybody ever had a Jew roll up their sleeve and show you? It's humbling. It's humbling. That's not something they did themselves. And to read some of their biographies and hear some of the things they said, read something. As a matter of fact, it was this week. It was a Jewish guy. They told this is that millionaire guy, and he was talking to a Holocaust survivor from Poland, and the Polish Jewish person from Poland said, "I don't." I'm trying to remember exactly how he said. "I don't. I choose my friends more delicately now." He says. When I look at them, my question is, would they hide me? I mean, ain't that something? I choose my friends by, would you hide me if they came for me? Well, we don't know nothing of that here in the States and here in America. So it's a different world for them in many aspects of that. You see this here, and this wasn't as far back. I said they're still alive today. And there are people trying to erase it from history. Like I said, in the generations, the young people over there, they understand what happened, and they're trying to hang on to it. But again, it's the world. People just trying to make it disappear as it didn't happen. This is down in Miami. They have a Holocaust memorial down there. A lot of hardship. Like I said, if you study into the Holocaust, it's going to be depressing, but it's a reality. You say, well, what is a picture of? When you turn your back on God, there's going to be consequences. And here you saw it as a whole nation. Where did that usually start at? And this is biblical. You read it over and over. Usually it was the leadership. The leadership. And we're not going to get political or anything like that, but the leaders from the home to the community, to the states, to the nation. As the leadership goes, it dictates a lot. So it's important to have good leaders that love and fear God. United Nations, condemnations, that's from 2006 to 2021. Now, take them all except the bottom one, which is Israel. Add all those up from those ones on top there, and look at some of those communist countries on the top side there. China, North Korea, Syria, Venezuela, Pakistan, Somalia, the Taliban in general, China, Cuba. All the grievances from those on the top just barely surpass that one country at the bottom, Israel. Say, why? How can that be? One, if you're God's chosen people, who's number one target are you at that point? Satan. Satan doesn't want anybody to get the truth. But there is a group of people. There's a people out there that he especially does not want to get the truth. Why? Because of the apple of God's eye. They have a special place in God's heart. And that's what he don't want them to have the truth of his word. So you can see it right here on the world stage right here. Next. We're there near in Ashkelon. This is down towards Gaza. Samson, this is kind of his stomping ground. Goliath down this area. Real quickly, Palestinian, Philistine. Pretty much same thing. If you say, I don't understand, when I see the news, I hear them say the word Palestinian, I don't understand what that means. Read the Bible, see what it says about the Philistines. Pretty much got the same thing. Pretty much same token. But the European Union, say, what business do they have in Israel? None. But they're there. It's not a coincidence. Why aren't they in Turkey or Jordan or Egypt or Saudi Arabia with all that oil? Why are they in Israel? We know why. This is IDF soldiers. They count us as friends, Americans. I got a story I can tell y'all on that. That time they scared us. Did I share it with y'all last time I was here? Anyways, I ain't gonna take time tonight, but yeah, they're our friends. They want to show us off. They need to be careful not to scare us in the process because we don't know what they're doing. They pulled us over. Anyway, we thought we were in trouble. We thought we was going to go to jail. But what wound up happening, long story short, is he called other security over there, soldiers with him, and it was like, this is it. I mean, now we got all these soldiers around the car, and he leaned down one more time to the window and said, "You an American?" And I was like, yes, sir. You know, he's like, and he rolled up his sleeve and he said, NYPD. He said, 9/11, I was there. And we're like, well, we can breathe. We realized then he said, these are Americans. Of course, we're scared up to that point, but he was just wanting to show us off. So they're very friendly. They count us as their allies, their friends, and I hope y'all are. Our government, our leaders need to be their friend. Just out of fear of God and acknowledgement of God's word, they need to be our friends. Their friends, and I said, they're very, very hospitable. I show this only to let you know, neither one of these guys are in power right now. It is what it is. They're kind of the same to a degree. Netanyahu has a chance to come back up into power here quickly as prime minister again. He is a lion. The Orthodox, which represents about 20% of the Jewish population, they do kind of run the show. So he does cater to them because if you're going to be in power, they're the one that pulls the strings pretty much. But bottom line, neither one of these men are in power right now. Next. Abrahamic House, I might have mentioned that a little bit when it was here before. It's been pushed back to 2023. You can see the three structures. This is just one they were just beginning. But there's a fourth one now. Did I tell you about that? Okay, the fourth one now, it's Bali, I'm going to call it. So you understand, it's the Kumbaya House. That ain't the real name, but that's really what it comes down to. If you go any of these, if you go to the Muslim mosque, or you go to the what they call the Jewish synagogue, or you go to the Christian building, and you like some of each one of them, but there's parts you don't like, then you just go over to the Kumbaya building, and they'll just merge it all together. That's really, I'm giving you the meats and potatoes, here really how it folds out. So they're out in the fourth building now. So now they pushed it back to 2023. And like I said, if you go on, that's the Vatican News there. They're trying to be the flagship claiming. And you can already see this starting. Now the Vatican, they're, hey, this is our idea. You think the Muslims are going to go with that? Or the Orthodox Jews? No, you see how this is not going to work. So, but now they got the fourth house. It's just going to bring everybody together. It's one big happy family. And I'll say, if you watch that video on this and you read this, you'll be like, I mean, they're so boldly proclaiming the coexist flag, which all the drums been beat here in America strong on that, and the world's watching us. It's really the heartbeat of what they're saying. Oh, we're just all serving the same God. That's not what God's word says. So anyways, that's about the Abrahamic house. And next. And there it does even say, and this is fascinating. Say, I mean, here in America, we don't think anything of this. But this is in the heart of Muslim territory. Mary, the mother of Jesus Mosque. That's oxymoron just right there in the phrase alone. Mary, the mother of Jesus Mosque. So go on, you see who they're claiming as Christians. Catholics. Catholics ain't true Christians. If you're a true Catholic, then you're not a true Christian. Your doctrine does not allow it. Bob says there's one mediator between God and men, the man, Christ, Jesus, period. There is none other. So that right there is interesting as far as being in the heartbeat of Israel. There's Jews that believe this man is Messiah. I'm not going into detail on it. This is down in Florida next. Top 10 countries with largest number of Jews, Israel, 6.93 million. And almost just as many in the United States. So people say, why aren't we just constantly focused on Israel? We do go to Israel. It's easy over there because when you're out in the streets of Tel Aviv or Ashkelon or wherever, odds are you're going your track. Not 9 out of 10 is going to go to a Jew. So that's easy per se. Here in America, we do have to kind of you say, how do we do it? One, you find the synagogues. Two, you find the kosher food. Hey, I mean, there's technique to this, and you find the schools, and you find those, and you usually find the communities, and you know where to start concentrating on. Then you got France, which who would have ever thought France would be number three? Next. Populations, again, New York City, or the New York area there, 1.7 million. I said, when we go up to the Brighton Beach, Coney Island, south of Manhattan there in New York, a lot of Jews. One of our big problems there is keeping enough tracts out. One in our hands or two on the table. It's constantly running back and forth, getting tracts and Bibles. Then you see Jerusalem, and the next one there, Los Angeles, which we just came back from. Miami is where we're heading to next. Next. Here we are in the streets of Surfside, which is north of Miami. This is where that hotel fell. Next. And the signs there, we have God, a Bible verse there on the back. And the Jewish people, they see it. One, they see the Star of David there, so that catches their attention. And then they see the Israel, then they see the Bible verse. They're very apprehensive about challenges when we got a Bible verse. They say, well, they're all about the Torah and Tanakh. But these are what we call Old Testament verses, and they're very apprehensive about coming out on challenges, even the rabbis. Next. These, I call them the fuzzy hat ones. These guys, you get a bunch of them together, you better have a driver in a car. These guys can get pretty serious with you pretty quick. I mean, dancing, screaming in the streets. So we're up in New Jersey here. Next. Here's Bethany. The females, males, Jewish people usually don't have a tendency to communicate with females. It's just part of their customs. So Bethany, she's got the floor. Who's not going to take a track from her? You know what I'm saying? And they're hospitable people. They're kind, they're nice, and they'll take the track. They're not as near as leery about her giving out a track than if one of us males would. So they're active in it. Here's a mother with a child. If she gets saved, what do you think the possibility of the child getting saved? Next. And that same question about Mountain City, Tennessee. Each of us here. So here's the family again. They read those signs. They read a Bible verse. Too late. They're at that crossroads now. Hey, this is what the Tanakh says. This ain't some just messianic Gentile guy. He's got one of our verses out of our book. He's promoting. and they asked questions. Next. That guy there, he thought we should have animals with us. It's weird. It's what we call a Frank. We run into Franks every once in a while. Now, if anybody in here named Frank, I'm not. I'll tell you, if you've been out someplace, it's just the nickname we have. So if anybody's named Frank, I'm not talking about you. But anyways, he wanted us to have animals. There's Reuben at the bus station there, bus stop, giving the gospel out. Here they are tracking parking lots. They put tracks on the cars. Next. Yeah, Bethany, you see her taste. So whoever she marries, whoa. Why? I mean, next thing I turn around, she's at a Lamborghini. So I was like, don't touch it because you know that thing's got an alarm. Anyways, go. Next. There we are. Ben Shapiro. This is where he was at, down here at this Hanukkah in Surfside. Next. That's him up on the stage. Next. And there's him and Reuben. A very nice guy. He's Orthodox. I didn't realize how Orthodox he was. But very very approachable, very intelligent. You say, what does Ben need? He needs the truth. He's there. And you say, well, if, one, his influence around the world. If he got saved, one, I think he's got enough money that when his family cut him off, he still do okay. And last I heard through the grapevine was he was looking. Ain't that something? So this year when we go back there, last year we tracked it pretty hard. So they're probably going to be looking for us this year. So y'all, seriously, we're getting ready to head back down there. Y'all pray for us. They don't like what we're doing. So anyways, next. Sweden. I was surprised how large the synagogue was over there in Stockholm. This is a church we linked up with in country. When we go into other countries, wherever it's at, England, Ukraine, wherever, we try to link up with the local church. That's how it's supposed to be. And we help them, giving out their tracks with our Jewish tracks. So Jewish people, we went on just, hey, here's a track, and you're on your own. Like Ethiopian eunuch, hey, here's somewhere you can go to get the truth. Next. Here we are up in the Boston Commons. We have a tent. This year we had to use this can, but usually we have a big tent that has an Israeli flag and stuff on it. We've got a new one because staking them in the ground, we had issues with them. Anyways, this was up in Boston Commons. Here's Reuben giving tracks out again. Now, this is in Israel. When I told you all about the $3,000 and 60,000 tracks, boom, we're getting printed over. Chick Tracks, they had 10,000, no, it was more than that. It was 50,000 tracks that was overseas. It took almost a year to get them through customs. But now we have a way of printing them in country. So that red tape and that issue with getting the tracks, even in Ukraine, Brother Maher, I don't know if you know Brother Rich Maher, that's a big issue they have, was getting enough tracks. That's a good, it's not, I ain't saying it's a good problem, but it's a sign that we're getting a lot of tracks out. So missionaries, I'll put a plug in, not just for us, but other missionaries come in and say, hey, tracks are a big issue. Y'all, they're not kidding. Getting paper, you know, how supply is, it's like it around the world. And getting the paper and getting the ink and getting the stuff and getting it printed, if you can get it printed in country, it's a big plus. So that's what the money does as far as this is one load. Next. There to get them bundled up to get mailed out. Next. This is part when we're taking in the Bibles and tracts and stuff. Every little bit counts. Let's say each of those Bibles we can take in back there weigh a pound. If we ship them in a box, it's almost $300 some dollars per box. So think about that. Three boxes, that's an airline ticket. Almost. Three boxes, which we can get in our luggage easily. So, and so we're over there delivering, but we can't just ship them over to. They seize them in customs, and they're waiting for somebody to come pick them up. Then they identify who that person is. So there's a lot of red tape and different things. Next. Here we are right there outside the walls there in Jerusalem. Reuben's putting tracks out the bus. Buses are a common means of transportation over in Israel. Even the soldiers, when they go home, they carry their M16s with them. And I said M16s are which come from where? United States. Next, here's Reuben gives gospel to women there at the bus station again. She was a teacher from Virginia. She moved back. She drew bush, you move back to Jerusalem. Now you see something on the table there. Now, I ain't got time to tell you the whole story on this, but it's fascinating. Next. She's in a class there. She's teaching Hebrew to people that are migrating into, coming in like the Aliyah. They're coming back to Israel. So she's teaching them Hebrew. Guess what she uses as her textbook? The Bible. I said, well, if I had time over food, I'd love to tell you all the story. But it's just fascinating. So year after year, we would bring her Bibles, and that's what she would teach out of next. This particular class here, real quickly, a Jewish woman, guess what she was teaching on? When Messiah said, it is finished. A Jew, notice the lines you, everybody says, they can't say nothing. She's teaching on, it is finished. Now, I ain't into women preachers, but women teachers, I was all for that. This is church in Israel. You say, why don't we just go over and pop up a church? That previous slide, that classroom, they did it on fire. It's not that simple. Not, the world is not like here it is in America. We have a lot to be thankful for. Next. You see their customs. They do a lot of things. Next. The curly cues, the prayer shawl, the tizzits, the phylacteries, different things like that. Have a good friend. He says, if Moses come back today and saw a Jew, he would say, what in the world are y'all doing? And if y'all study the background, a lot of this tradition they have, it's not biblical. Yeah. It had a reference to a degree at one point, Levitical law or did something like that then, but now it's rabbinical. And I'll tell you, that's their hang-up. That's their hang-up. Next. There's that fuzzy hat. You got to watch them. Next. But they're very, very dedicated to the belief that they have. And it comes back to where somebody has taught them this. Dads, moms, grandmas, grandpas, somebody taught them this. And they trusted somebody that was teaching, or somebody that was preaching, or some rabbi, or some cleric, or some sage. They believed and trusted somebody, and now so much dedication. Hours and hours doing things. Here we are giving Bibles out. Next. They're suspicious. They see the front of the Bibles. We got them back on the table. They see the tribes and stuff on there. They're intrigued. But once again, go to the next slide. This one here. Okay, y'all seen the previous slides there. When we say the word Jew, what do most people think of? The black hats or the fuzzy hats, the curly cues, the prayer shawl, different things. A Jew. Next. A Jew with their child. Once again, it says the Orthodox represents only about 20% of the population. And we kind of try to put them all in that same boat. A Jew. Next. A Jew. I'm looking for the truth. He had his wife and his daughter with him. And his wife took the little girl off so we could witness to him. Next. These are the Florida Jews. We got it made. So they think. So they've been told. They've made it back to Aliyah. They're back in Israel. They have money. They have a home. What else do they need? They've been told they're okay. They need somebody to say, hey, the Bible says for all has sinned and come short of the glory of God. Next. Next. This is Boston, y'all. This is Jerusalem. We're on the street in Jerusalem. The same thing happens here in the States in Boston. Reuben, he was over at a bus. It was a subway. He was at one exit. I was at the other. And they were coming out. And just over, I'm okay. And they keep on walking. And next, I'm okay. Finally, I looked over at Reuben. Reuben's like this to me. He's getting frustrated. He was like, we're not accustomed to this. Usually people are taking the tracks. And they kept saying, oh, I'm good, or I'm okay, and just keep on walking. And just like they do in Israel. Finally, I had to get to the point, no, you're not. No, you're not. You say, well, that's me. No, that's the truth. They've been deceived. They need somebody to tell them the truth. We only got 3 seconds. They're walking. Somebody needs, they heard the voice. And the prayer is, hey, 2 o'clock in one morning, why did that guy say I'm not all right? He had a Bible. He had a track. Everybody said,
crazy guy out on the street. Why did he say, while he had a Bible or a tract in his hand, why did he say I wasn't all right? Seize the opportunity. Seize the opportunity. He said it without Jennings. Jenner. Jenner out of, anybody know about Jenner? The missionary in Australia? His goal was every day to challenge 10 people. 10 people. Dude, you know who Jesus is. If you die today, we can go to heaven. Day after day after day. And they would keep on walking. Years, what, year, how many years? Years, I'm talking 10 plus years. He did this. That was his challenge every day. Step on the street and challenge somebody. He died. Had a missions conference. Was it in the Philippines? Had a missions conference there. And of course, the orator of the meeting said, so-and-so, come out and give your testimony. So the missionary comes up and says, my name is so-and-so, and this is our mission field. I was saving so-and-so today. He said, I was in Australia. And a man stepped out and asked me if I knew if I was going to go to heaven, if I knew who Jesus was. And he sits down, he tells his testimony, and he sits down. Where it says, missionary so-and-so, come on up here and give your testimony. Missionary comes up. My name's so-and-so. Me and my family were missionaries to so-and-so country. I'm a Christian today. I was in Australia, and a man stepped out. And another one, he sat down. They called up another. And it was just, he never saw the fruit, but he presented the challenge. Don't make light of the opportunity. You say, I only have 3 seconds. Do all you can in those 3 seconds. Next. That woman right there in that picture, I didn't even get a really chance to talk to her. She started telling me her testimony, the slide before that woman. And she started giving me her testimony. And I'm standing there. I ain't going to cut her off. Hey, I mean, she's saying, I mean, I'm listening intently. And I'm like, wow, hey, this is good. And she says also, she's like, but I need a Bible. And I was standing there with a Bible in my hand. I was like, well, ain't that something? Well, guess what? I was like, here. You can. She's like, I mean, she's just on a shot. She's like, oh, I love this. She said, my family needs the Bible too. It was like, hang on a sec. I got another one. So I gave her 2 Bibles. You just never know. You never know who God's going to link you up with. Next. What we see here, generations, and I'm hurrying. Generations. You got the older generation teaching the younger generation. Teaching the younger generation. You know, we say we read through the Old Testament, you know, the Jewish people, we see a format, and then we look at ourselves, grandpa, dad, and the children. Same, you say, well, shame on them. What about us? What about Mountain City, Tennessee? How many children are out there being taught something they shouldn't be taught? They're believing a lie. Got some other different doctrine or some other different church they're going to, and they don't know any better. Dad, they just believe you. Mom, she just believes you. She just believes you. Next. And over and over. These little kids, they don't know what they're doing. They just know, hey, this is what they say I need to be doing. And then what are they doing? They're investing time. Next. They're watching. They're watching. Again, Dad. Mom, grandma, grandpa, they're watching you. Just like the kids over in Israel. Just like the Jewish people, they're watching you. And they're doing the things over and over and over. And they're watching continually because you're doing things. What are they doing? Why are they doing it? Here we run into a group of teenagers. And that one boy right there, he took the Bible. He was kind of ringleader. He was kind of mocking us. But there's another boy in the back. He took a Bible. He wasn't mocking me. He kind of took his to himself. I believe the one in front probably turned his into the rabbi. The one in the back, he kind of, this is something I can't look at while I'm here with them. But so our prayer is just never know. Next. But they keep doing these things. They keep watching and learning. Next. Over and over. And investing time, effort, resources. Here, they're in the middle of the night. And then you got this. And this picture here is probably the hardest man I've ever had an opportunity to witness to. Say, what happened here? Think of this man. He's probably about 65, 65, 70 years old. Total void. I kept asking questions. He just looked at me and kind of grunted a little bit. I kept saying, hey, do you know who Messiah is? And you know what Knox says about Messiah? What did they go around? Just question everything. He just kind of grunted. He said, what happened here? All those slides we just showed you of the little kids being shown, watching, learning. And what I say? They were investing time, resources, and effort. Said, what happened to this man? Take him back to 6 years old, 7 years old. He crawls up in his dad's lap. Says, Dad, oh, I love you. Dad, I want to be just like you. I want to be just like you. Well, son, this is what you need to do. Do these things. And that's what those slides you were watching, they were doing things. So he grows older. Now he's a teenager. He has his bar mitzvah. He's doing those things. Now he's trying to impress the rabbi, the sages. And he keeps doing those things. Now it's 2 o'clock in the morning. He's praying at the wall for hours. How many of y'all pray for hours at 2 o'clock in the morning? But he's investing all this time, all this effort doing these things. Now he's 24, 25 years old. He goes to the rabbi. He says, Rabbi, for years, most of my life, I've talked to my dad and my grandfather. They said, do this. And I've done these things for so much of my life. But Rabbi, there's a void, an emptiness there. And it just won't go away. The rabbi says, dear friend, you're just not doing them enough. You must do them more. So now he leaves. He says, it's my fault that I have this void. I have not filled this void. I must do these things more. So he gets more dedicated. Spends more time or more resources doing these things. But now he's 30, 40, 50, 60 years old. And that void is just as big now as it ever was. All those years, all that time, all those resources trying to fill that void by doing those things has left him empty. And now a strange guy approaches him on the streets. Then, hey, you're not all right. And here's the reason why. I can imagine as he looked at me as I was speaking to him saying, this foolish man, I've done so much. I did what I was told to do. I can't give it up now. You understand? He's got so much invested in a lie. So much time. How hard would it be to give that up? Once again, the entrance of thy word, give us life. This is a hurdle, a mountain too high that no person can bring them over. Amen. That is a tradition. Why we must pray for the Jewish people? We must pray, but their hope is in God's word. That's why that is it. The schemes, the gimmicks are not going to overcome what he's done all his life. He has one hope, the entrance of God's word, illuminating his heart and revealing to him that, hey, for by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourself. It is the gift of God, the matanah, the gift of God, not of works, 65 years of works. Not of works, that's any man should put. He must acknowledge that. That's the only hope he has. Next. The children are just like ours, and they're watching us. Next. They have personalities. Saddam Hussein's getting ready to blow them all up. He thought he was Darth Vader. They really do have, they have personalities just like ours. They're not haters. They're being taught. This is Palestinian kids. The children, they stop and pose for a picture. They're just like our children. They just need the truth. Just like the children here in Mountain City. Say, well, what's their pitfall? They're watching somebody. Are they watching you? Are you being a light? They need you. Say, well, missionary man, this is about your mid. No. You can get mad at me if you want. I'm going to spin it back on you. This is you. Those kids. I used to be a cop, I'm telling you right now. There's kids out there need you. They don't need somebody down the road. Somebody at Walmart set an example for them. Some uncle or some grandpa that's lived a rebellious life. They need you. Sitting in the chair you're sitting in tonight is you. Well, I don't want to be personal with me. You got a problem. You got Christianity is not about you. It's about them. Those children, they just need the truth. Next. They got armed guards with them. Next. 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 These are just like your children. If the Jewish children really knew what was coming, they would hide our faces. The Feast of Tabernacles there. Next. Zechariah 13:8 says, and it shall come to pass that in all the lands, saith the Lord, two parts therein shall be cut off and die, but the third shall be left therein. So what does that mean? That means you put an X here, an X here, a check. An X here, an X here, a check. You see what's going on? The hand of the Antichrist. Once again, trying to take out God's chosen people. Two-thirds, two parts therein shall be cut off and what? Die. If they truly knew their future. You mentioned the time of Jacob's trouble to a Jew. I've talked to Jewish people. I had one on an airplane. She was Jewish. Good conversation. For about 20 minutes until I mentioned the time of Jacob's trouble. It was so sore of a spot with her. She wasn't really just, that was it. She didn't want to fathom that their worst days are not yet come. Next. Miami, you see the family again, the generations. Next. Jerusalem, you see the generations. Next. The family, again, over and over. Revelation 10:4 says, and I heard a number of them which were sealed, and there were sealed 144,000 of all the tribes of the children of Israel. You say, how do Jews get saved? Same way we do. There's no special privilege. Next. And when you see these things again, come to pass, then look up and lift your heads, for your redemption draweth nigh. Again, prophecy. We know where we're at. Y'all watch the news. It's starting to sink in. That's probably last month. It's kind of sinking through. We're living in a time on ground that nobody else is treading. You say, well, John the Baptist or John the Revelator, he saw it. He didn't tread on it. We can't go to our grandpas or great-grandpas and say, hey, what was it like in the end times? They weren't there. These young people, they're treading on ground that has not been tread before as far as prophecy and the way that as time goes, they are living in the last days. We lived in a time where we knew of the last days. And we kept kind of reaching out to it. Now it is here. Our urgency must be among us. As individuals, we ask y'all pray for the Jewish people. We ask you pray for the other Jewish missionaries. You ask you pray for us as we go out. And again, as missionaries, we represent opportunity. We're extending that. God's been so good to us. The things we've been involved in, I mean, it's humbling. It is so humbling. Even to know some of the people we know, have opportunities we have. But how selfish it would be if we didn't share with other people. How selfish it would be. So we do ask y'all to pray for us. We present. We truly appreciate the opportunity to come present the ministry. This is your Jerusalem, Mountain City. And again, y'all go. Y'all see them. You're gonna go to a store or something tomorrow. You're gonna see a kid or a family member or somebody, and you know in your heart they need what you got. You may even ask them. They're gonna say the words. Because they don't know anything. They're walking in blind. I tell you, Boston really shook me. I'm 51 years old. I hide in Boston. I didn't know how much that place shook me. I'm okay. Over and over and over. And my heart's just screaming. Oh no. It's like they were walking away straight off a cliff into hell. It's how it felt. It's like I wanted to run and tackle them. I know I'd get arrested.
But it was like, oh no, and you just didn't want to let them walk off because you could see it on their face with that smirk and that smile. Oh, I'm okay. They were like, what a crazy person. There's another one of them crazy park people or something. Yes, hold on. Mountain City, same people, same thing. So, appreciate y'all. Church-wise, y'all hang in there. Y'all hang in there. Missions, the foundation of mission is the local church. Talked to a pastor down in Chattanooga a few weeks ago. I told him, said, missions has changed and agreed that we still have our mission. Everything's kind of in that aspect, same that people are more receptive now, but we got to encourage churches. Because we've got about 55 churches this year. And I'll tell you, there's some churches out there that are struggling. And you're there presenting ministry to them, and you're seeing their burden and their need in their own churches and their own hearts. And you're here wanting to help them. And to present the ministry, so we just say, hey, pray, pray. What does the Bible say? Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. They shall prosper that love thee. That ain't monetarily. It could be, but not monetarily, but spiritually. Y'all struggling? Pray. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Pray for each other. And y'all hang in there. Y'all been encouragement to us. We appreciate y'all. You want to give time for questions?
Yeah, I think great. Yes, sir. That'd be great.
Real quickly. Anybody got any questions? I know y'all asked some good questions last time. I know it went too long, I understand. Y'all, it's, I don't know. It's just, you see them as a Christian, as a Bible believer, I know who they are. And if you do, you just want to reach out and just, hey, one, do you know who you are? Do you know God has chosen y'all? Do you understand? You've read Tanakh. You've seen what happened when you turn your back on God. And you just kind of want to shake them. You can't do that, but you just kind of do. And,
got a question.
Go ahead.
Well, the question is, the fuzzy hat guys, what's the difference between them and the brim hat guys?
It's kind of like no Catholics, no calling Baptists. How many different flavors of Baptists do we have? Who the world knows? Is that bad? Same thing with Catholic. You got a lot of flavors. We were in Buddhist temples one time. It was just a few miles apart, and we thought those ninjas wanted to jump out. I mean, they were, we told one, we would let the other one, and they got mad. Like, they knew we weren't Buddhists. Why they get mad? But they, in fact, I mean, there's just so many different sects. Groups, I guess you want to say, of them. Just those ones, the fuzzy hats. You get them together, they get bold. They're not mean, vicious. It's just they're very staunch in what they believe to a pretty extreme level. So, and you'll see them, and even in Jerusalem, you'll see the different ones. I mean, different colors on their prayer shawls. They're just anything's like gang signs. It's a small breed. Yeah, hey, I'm with this group, or I'm with this rabbi. I mean, it's just they're following just rabbinical stuff to extreme. They must answer for all that. God's word. There is one mediator between God and the man Christ Jesus that knocks all the religions of the world in the head. Period. So, simple answer for a simple solution for them. And just they're following the rabbinical teachings is huge. That rabbi in Miami, I mean, that's all he kept falling back on. He had nothing else to stand on. So I was giving him Bible verses. That's one thing that impressed me. I had a challenge, a rabbi come out in Miami to challenge me. And that's one thing that stuck out in my head. I'm so glad I stuck with the Bible. Because that totally chalked him. And he couldn't challenge God's word. He had enough sense about him. Don't challenge God's word. So they want you to get on something Gentile-ish or something out of the Bible. Because they'll start pounding on you. So stick with God's word. And that ain't just Jewish people. That's when you're down here knocking doors. Anybody else?
Again, what is the percentage of conversion you would say it's time that you go? And
y'all ready for this? I mean, this is, I'm going to tell you the truth. This is, I mean, you think all churches across America love Jewish people. From the time we sow the first seed, expose them to God's word, the average school when they were kids, they've had that exposure through their life. Here, the rabbis don't do that. But here, you're dealing with somebody, and like you said, you saw it in the pictures. They're having to do these things. I mean, it's just constantly been bombarded in their heads. That's how that one guy, that's why when he came and said, I'm looking, you say, what did that mean? That means he didn't have what he was needing. That's why he was still looking. He had all that religion, but I'm looking for the, and he said that magic word, truth. I am the way, the truth, and life. And that's what that Jew said. I am looking for the truth. So all that tradition, all that things, all that has to be torn down. And then after that, you say, what's next? Then their family's going to turn on. Well, you're messianic. You're messianic. So you don't believe what the rabbis say? Well, you're cut off. Yeah, I'll tell you, just we have it so made. You look at this, and here's once again that mirror again. We are so blessed here in America to be exposed to God's word so much as we have. It ain't. I mean, I'm a veteran. I'm American. But I'll tell you what. God bless America. No. God has blessed America extremely, and we've reaped from that. And we've kind of forgotten where we came from. So, 10 years. Sorry, that's just the truth. But you got to start somewhere. I'm not going to just call it. It's an average 10-year turnaround. Well, don't throw our hands up and say, "Well, what if that was you?" I'm not going to take you personally. You know what I'm saying? What if that was you? What was that? What if that was you, Jenner? Just hey, let me challenge 10 people today. If he had, when's he going to know the fruit of his labors? Not till then. So we'll start somewhere. Good question.
When you're speaking with Jewish people, of course, obviously you start with the Old Testament. Are they receptive after conversation to anything in the New Testament, such as the Gospel?
Yeah, I mean, there's so much of the Old Testament, what we call Old Testament, in the New Testament. And I tell you, when a Jewish person looks at you and just say, why have I ever heard this? We know the answer. I mean, we can't just blurt it out. Maybe your rabbis are like a Catholic priest. They don't want you to read it. They don't want you to read God's word. So you got to just tell them, hey, this is what I'll say. Isaiah 53. And then you read it with them. You ask them, hey, who is that talking about? You know what I'm saying? And you're like, why have I never heard this? Or Micah 5:2. Does that sound like a human, a normal human from everlasting? Do you know anybody that's everlasting? Who is that? The Son of God. Only God. Only God is everlasting from beginning, Alpha and the Omega. And they answer those questions. Let it come out of their own mouth. You do it. I'm sure you've done enough. You can get people to say the truth out of their own mouth by asking them questions. Jesus, who set the best example for that? You read the Gospels. How many times did he do that? Somebody asked him a question, and he'd have them answer their own question. It's a good tactic. Because are they going to argue with themselves after they say it? So he knows what he's doing. It's a good example. So,
is there no support system for the people that have their backs turned against their family because it's usually financial too? Is there a good financial in the church? Do you have a good support system?
Oh, there is. Here, y'all come to a local church. Oh, there's not. I mean, no. This setup has been going on for almost 7,000 years. Satan's known this a long time. And Satan's a professional. There's no better Satan than Satan. And he knows how to set wills and emotions to make, so he knew the days were coming. He knows God's word. He knows it, and he set wills and emotion to make it as hard as possible to get God's word to his chosen people. And he knows God's word is going to be the forerunner for Messiah returning. How many times in history has the Jewish children a leader set out to kill the Jewish kids? And the Holocaust, you say, what is that about? Let's get rid of the Jews. If we kill them all, the prophecy cannot be fulfilled. Satan's, he's trying everything he can. He set this stage up for a long time. I wish I could say yes. I mean, I'm sure they could come here.
The churches that are over there, are they able to help support some of these people that do come from Christianity?
When you say churches, I understand what you're saying. Right. It's not like this here, though. There's so-called messianic churches over there, but most of them kind of like Reformed.
where it says they're liberal. So there are a few. Reno Kalishner, he's dead. I mean, I read some of his stuff. He said some good stuff, but it's just it's on the verge of a fundamental like Tennessee, Georgia, Alabama Baptist Church. I wish I could give you a.
No,
I just gotta be honest with you. That's why we need to pray for him. I mean, we have got it made. We have got it made. I know it takes time. We've got it made. You need to see that. And if you do, it will humble you and it will charge you. What if that was you? What if you'd heard the truth and you didn't have. Have you ever laid on your bed? Some of you guys have been in the military. You know what I'm talking about? You ever laid on your bed wishing you had an opportunity to go to a good church? You're stationed somewhere, there wasn't a fundamental Bible-believing church, probably nowhere around. A lot of people ain't have been there, and I'm glad. We say a lot of people have, but I tell you, when you ever get to that point, oh, your heart goes out to them. And they need us. They need to, just like our kids. Hey, why are you sending your kids to church camp? So they know they're not alone. Why are you sending them down to Bill Ross Ranch? So they see other kids that are serving God.
Amen.
And they know, hey, I'm not alone.
Amen.
I'm not alone. The Jewish people, they need to know they're not alone. That's a there's a ministry there. I mean, anybody else? Appreciate y'all. Can't say it enough. Y'all hang in there. We're being encouraged. We come here to try to encourage y'all. Y'all bear tremendous encouragement to us. And we know where to send people. When I say the word Mountain City, Tennessee. So thank you all for being here. Thank you.
Amen. What a wonderful ministry that the Lord has given him and his family. And it's cool to see it is your whole family. It's not just you. It's you and your whole family getting out there. And I praise the Lord for the challenge that was to us. A lot of times you think missionaries are come to present us their ministry, but tonight was just as much a challenge to us as it was him presenting his ministry to us. So let's make it a point to pray for Brother Pippen and his family. And we're going to pray very hard and consider very strongly as a church of taking them on for support. And we'll consider that very deeply in the coming days. But that's just a great encouragement to me. And may God help us to be faithful to pray for them, but to pray for God's chosen people, Israel. Because we hear it all the time, but I've heard it ever since I could understand why I was being told. But how often have I done it? And that hurts to think about. But tonight has been a great challenge and a reminder for me to do that, and we all need to do that. So it's been good to be here tonight. Let's once again be faithful to pray for Brother Pippen and his family, that God would open doors, that God would prepare hearts for that seed of the word that they're striving to present to these people. And I know that will strengthen and encourage their faith as well. But has anybody got anything on your heart before we be dismissed tonight? Yes, ma'am. Amen. Amen. Man, you did plenty of preaching, brother. Amen. Amen. It's good preaching when your toes are getting stepped on a little bit. But when the Lord takes us to the woodshed, he reminds us that he loves us. So anything else before we be dismissed? Well, if there's nothing else, we're going to be dismissed with a word of prayer. Before you leave, if you haven't yet, go check out their table and all the wonderful material they have there. Be sure to shake their hand, tell them you're praying for them and encourage them.